person. We're live. Hi, I'm Siobhan Sarna here with Stephen Wright. He is a dear friend of mine. He is an engineer by trade. He has helped to perpetuate more gut health education than most, even at this young, gorgeous age. He was one of the first people that I ever met online talking about gut health, and created a community, was talking about SCD lifestyle, the specific carbohydrate diet lifestyle, from his own experiences of gut health treachery, and solved his health, continues to work on his own incredible well-being. And he never wanted to do a supplement company, I remember. And finally he did, because he's like, I really want this supplement. It doesn't exist. I really want this and it doesn't exist. There's got to be a better enzyme. It doesn't exist. How can it not exist? And so finally he's like, all right. If I have to do it, I will. And thank God he did, because it's some of my favorite supplements and really useful educational information at the same time. He also gives us a nice special for the community, and that is going to be $15 off with free shipping for a limited time. I'll post the information in the chat. Now, the reason why I'm doing all of this up front is because Clarissa, who is my angel and who usually helps me, is not available today. So I am wearing a couple of different hats. I'm Siobhan. Hello. I started SIBO SOS. It means save ourselves. And versus someone come and save me, which was my original thought. And this book is called Healing SIBO, best $15 to $20 you're going to spend on knowing what to do next. It's on Amazon. I think it's on sale right now. Lots of great reviews. Wish I'd had this when I started my gut health journey, which is why I wrote it. Steve, hi. I got it all out.
Siobhan, hi. That was awesome.
Thank you. It's good to see you. Hi, everybody. So here's the deal. We're going to talk about magnesium today, and we've done this webinar recently. However, the response surprised both Stephen and myself, and so we knew it was time to redo it, because there's still more to talk about. So do me a favor, because I am by myself today. Can you put any questions that you have in the Q&A box, and can you just keep chat to the links that I want to share with you for the discount? That being said, there are hundreds of people here. Welcome. We will try to get to your questions. We have a limited time. Go for magnesium.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the first time that we did this, we talked about it from a perspective of sort of the magnesium wars, and the fact that I thought that magnesium was this boring compound that everybody was deficient in. And I assumed everybody was already supplementing with. And I assumed that all these bioavailability emails that I get from other experts and influencers out there, and then from the companies themselves, were correct. And the truth was, is that when I got into the research, I realized that either I'm the only one reading the papers, or other people are just lying, or I don't know what's happening, but they're definitely not telling the full truth. And so our last talk was more about the full truth, which we can try to recap here, which is what I found when I kind of dug in, because I wanted to create the best magnesium for sensitive guts. You know, people with gut issues tend to react to certain things and certain supplements. And so that was the charge I was given from my community and our team. And when I dove in, the story got really twisted and weird. And then we had a lot of questions come in. And so I think that's why we're back here today, is to hopefully hit more questions and maybe just recover some of the top points around bioavailability, the different uses of the different types of magnesium, how do you test for it, things like this. That was really surprising when I dove in.
So what has surprised you the most, and is there a test?
I would say that's the thing that surprised me. Actually, the bioavailability thing surprised me the most. But the second thing that surprised me is, I've early on in my career, when I did my functional medicine training, was told, like, don't test serum magnesium levels. They're unreliable. Instead, test what's called magnesium RBC, or red blood cells. This is the reliable marker for someone with low magnesium levels. The other one, the serum one, it's not correlated. So I just assumed that was true. I heard it from many sources, mentors of mine, and I assumed that was true. When you look at the research, that is just a very partial story. Basically, inside of your body right now, obviously it's going to depend on your gender as well as your weight, but around 24,000 milligrams is how much you store of total magnesium in your body. And only 0.8% of that 24,000 milligrams is located in your blood, the serum part of your blood, which is 0.3%, and 0.5% is located in your red blood cells. So only 0.8% is what we're testing on a regular basis. And then when you look at the data for when they studied somebody where they're supplement with magnesium, they said, okay, we're gonna test their serum, their red blood cells, and we're gonna test urine, or we're gonna test like radioisotope or bone or muscle. They don't correlate past that point.
Who knows?
And so in other words, you can give someone magnesium supplements and the data shows that their serum level might go up, their urine level might go up, but their muscle doesn't go up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't appear that anything else in the bone or the brain, which are very hard to test, go up. And so the research has never been done to show how an RBC value or a serum value correlates to that other 23,500 milligrams of storage you're supposed to have.
Wow. Okay. So blood serum, not a good idea to have accurate information about your magnesium.
You know what? Get it done once. It's like $20. Okay. Get an RBC or a serum, do both of them. Okay. If they both correlate low, you definitely have a problem. Oh, if you're good. Middle okay. of the reference range, you definitely probably have a problem. If they're both high reference range or above the reference range and you take magnesium, and you don't notice anything, maybe you don't need it.
Okay.
But it's definitely not indicative of your brain magnesium, your bone magnesium, or your muscle magnesium. And that's the confusing part of the story.
Okay. No, but that's really clarifying. That's really helpful and they're inexpensive. So, and I love that so many labs right now are allowing people just to go directly to them. And it's not like, but I mean, get your PCP to write you the script and, you know, maybe insurance will pay for it, but it's cheap.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, testing is only as good as the science we have. And the science we have here is what I'm saying is pretty crap. Yeah. And if you're taking a magnesium product, whether it's ours or anyone else's, and you notice a benefit, stick with that. Just because you get a lab result that says you're low reference range, middle reference range, and your doctor says, hey, I don't think you should take this anymore, I would push back against that doctor pretty heavily and, you know, have a good conversation with them. They probably won't have looked at the literature like I have. Maybe you fire them, maybe you get a different doctor. But the point being, they won't have a leg to stand on if they actually read the literature, if you notice a benefit. Now, if you're above the reference range, there, you know, it's a different conversation.
Okay. So most of the people that have gut health issues that are in our community think about magnesium for constipation, right? I mean, that's pretty much mm-hmm. it. Everyone's always asking, is it oxide? Is it citrate? So how does magnesium work to help with constipation? And let's get into what the differences are in between different magnesiums, if we could.
Yeah. Yeah. So magnesium helps in constipation by essentially drawing water into the intestines. And it does that based on the type of magnesium. It pulls in more water based on the type of magnesium used. So magnesium oxide, if you search magnesium oxide constipation, human trials or human studies, there's a few out there where they use about 500 milligrams or so of mag oxide, and they find some relief for certain constipated people. Now, there's like, I would venture to say a million or more folks out there who use mag oxide every day, and that's how they go to the bathroom. That's great if that's you and it's working for you. Hopefully you're still having a Bristol number four. You're not just having explosion in the toilet or loose stools in the toilet, because we don't want those two things, which is what happens for me if I take it and what happens for a lot of folks who take it. And so then there was another iteration of magnesium that was made called magnesium citrate. And this is magnesium bound with citric acid. And my experience with it, and I think a lot of other people's experience, is it's slightly less explosive as magnesium oxide. So I would say there's maybe a couple million people on magnesium citrate every day. And again, it's basically drawing water in to help soften or make a better Bristol stool chart quality stool, but also the extra water causes the body to go, hey, that's not ideal. Let's move it along. Like, let's get it in the toilet. And so there's a couple things going on there. Now, when it comes to magnesium citrates, again, there are folks who have sensitive guts like myself, where if you take a little too many extra powders or capsules, you will have diarrhea or loose stools. And that's not ideal. So the next sort of easier rung on the ladder would be magnesium glycinate, which is what's in our product and what other people use. Now, glycinate is magnesium and glycine. And glycine is just an amino acid that's really helpful for the gut, really helpful for the brain, things like this. And so magnesium glycinate seems to be the best tolerated for sensitive guts. There is a study on basically their Crohn's patients who had surgery. They cut off part of their small intestine. These folks already have magnesium absorption issues. They'll have all types of absorption issues after you remove part of the small intestine, and they tend to be more sensitive. And so they compared magnesium oxide to magnesium glycinate. When they did this test, they used radioisotopes, which is the gold standard for magnesium studies. And what they found was the bioavailability was like essentially the same, which is part of the story that blew my mind. But what they did find is that a portion of the people had the diarrhea, but the glycinate people did not. And so that's where I like magnesium glycinate for use with slow bowel or constipation or whatever, is because you're not going to have those folks who have, you know, loose stools and diarrhea. That being said, constipation is a wild spectrum. Like, yeah, it's very wild spectrum. And so for some people, magnesium glycinate is not going to be powerful enough. And they might be more stuck out on the oxide spectrum.
Okay. And so you, again, didn't want to make a supplement company, but thank God you did, because Holozymes has helped so many people, are my favorite digestive enzyme. And what kind of magnesium is in yours?
So we use a 20% standardized magnesium glycinate. So that means 80% of the active ingredient is glycine and 20% is magnesium ions, and they're bound together. There's no flows, there's no fillers, there's no extra preservatives, nothing like that. So we have the strongest, cleanest version to date to market per capsule.
Cool. So I just put the links in there when I talked to you about the capsules. In the chat, if you guys are interested, you can click on it. You're getting $15 off your whole cart and free shipping, and it's applied automatically at checkout. So you don't have to type in Siobhan or anything like that for just this little window. We have that all set up for you. So what I like is you've really crammed a lot into the capsules, so I don't have to take as many.
Correct.
It's thoughtful, very thoughtful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's part of what we're trying to solve here is like, a lot of us have pill fatigue. You know, I'm like a circus act. So I like to take like 60 capsules in front of people with like a small gulp of water, so they think I'm cool. But a lot of other people really don't like that life. And they, you know, get pill fatigue, like Shay, like my spouse. So I want to design things where you have to take less pills, you get more bang for your buck, and you don't have these extra ingredients when you're at home having a reaction, you're trying to figure it out, like what is causing my gut to be upset. You can rule out, hey, it's not, you know, it's not these extra fillers or these flows or whatever.
Right. Quick question for you is, as someone is, you know, we're trying it. So several things are going through my head. So magnesium does like 500 different things in the body.
Right.
And if you are eating just normal food and you're trying to have a magnesium rich life, which I would imagine most people have to supplement, but what are some magnesium rich foods?
Yeah. So there's lots of magnesium rich foods, you know, spinach, leafy greens, almonds, some nuts and legumes. Mm. Like if you're eating like a paleo templated style diet or a, you know, whole food templated style diet, you will be getting a decent amount of magnesium. The question is, does the 320 milligrams per day for women, that's the RDA, or the 420 milligrams per day for men, RDA, does that make any sense for who you are? And by that, I mean, if you're an athlete where you sweat a lot, or maybe you're doing a detox program, you know, you have high cadmium or lead magnesium can help offset those two toxicities. Are you somebody who has chronic malabsorption issues of the gut? Do you have high stomach acid? Are you on a PPI? All these things decrease your ability to absorb magnesium, as well as they increase your need for magnesium. So if you're part of that group of people, your need for magnesium could be substantially higher. And that's where it almost does come down to a universal recommendation in my world. Check with your doctor, obviously. If you take it and it doesn't work for you, stop taking it right away, get a refund. But if you have chronic health issues, if you have chronic gut issues, and you are not using magnesium on a, 10 out of the 12 months a year basis, you're probably leaving some health on the table.
Okay. Guys, please put your questions in the Q&A box. I'm not going to be able to look at the chat and Q&A box. It's going to give me a headache. So I'd really appreciate it. And Loie, I see your question already. From Jim, are there any supplements, nutrients, or herbal remedies that you're aware of that could inhibit absorption of magnesium?
Anything that increases stomach acid, so PPIs, Tums, anything like that, that decreases your ability to actually absorb the acid, and then the pH changes, and there's studies on that. Your inability to break it down and free it up from things like HCL enzymes like that, that's probably going to be a big deal. If you have a lot of cadmium and lead, that'll sit on the receptors as well for magnesium. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, the question is, do we have enough magnesium in the soils, and are you eating enough of it to offset whatever imbalance you have?
Right.
I don't know that that's a, I think you could make yourself crazy trying to figure that out.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Where is your magnesium sourced?
Ours comes from the US and it's built in Canada. So we sourced it out of Utah, and then it goes over to Canada because they have a special machine over there to put it in the capsules for us.
Okay. Question is it underground, above water, underwater? I don't know how do people get magnesium from the earth? Or is it, I don't know, how do we get that?
I would have to check with the original ingredient manufacturer. My guess is they're separating it somehow in the lab and then recombining it, or they're mining it and then recombining it. I'm not totally sure. And I don't know why it would matter. It's a mineral. It's an ion.
Okay. Larry's saying, in Ayurveda, there's a school of thought that it is better to use magnesium transdermally, meaning you roll it on. Your thoughts?
Oh, I know there's a ton of people that love transdermal magnesium. Yeah. And so I think that if you put that on your feet or your legs or whatever, and that helps with your restless legs or your, I don't know if you can roll it on your temples if you're stressed or going to sleep. Like, I would try that kind of stuff. Roll it on your belly if you have bloating. Give it a shot. I think at the end of the day, some people absorb, my experience is some people absorb magnesium better through the skin than they do orally. I've tried it several times and I don't get any effect, but I know that if I take oral glycinate, I do have an effect.
Laura's saying her child gets seizures. He does well on citrate. However, many groups, I'm just assuming Facebook groups, state not to use it because it comes from fungus. Other magnesium that should be good for the brain, he will have lots of seizures when taking. Thoughts?
I am totally unqualified to advise or even say much on this, other than don't change your opinion based on what I say or what random people in Facebook groups say if you have something that's working. So,
and
like,
if you have something that's not working, definitely avoid it. Let's see.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. I'm sorry. I can't be more help there. That's just out of
Laura, our heart goes out to you. My gosh.
Yeah.
Have you tried topical? That might be something for him. Okay. Is there danger in taking too much magnesium based on the amounts of magnesium indicated on the product labels, or just in general? Can we magnesium OD, so to speak?
Yes. Yep. There are case studies I did find in the literature of people with hypermagnesia or like too much magnesium. The belief appears in the research, as well as from practitioners I talked to, that this is a pretty rare thing, Like, in other words, most of us, when someone says it's a rare event or you're a rare person, you're like, well, you know, it's not me, it's always somebody else. So, but somebody's going to have the reaction. It appears to be related to not having a balance of the other minerals, mm-hmm. or potentially something going on with like your kidneys or something like that are supposed to help filter things. That being said, you know, the RDA for men is 420, for women it's 320. A lot of people with constipation are taking thousands of milligrams per day. And what I just said is very important. There's people who think that the bioavailability of oxide and citrate and glycinate are different. And I'm here to tell you that the research suggests otherwise. They're about the same. They're all between 22 and 24% of what's ingested. So if you're an oxide person who's using 2000 milligrams a day to have a bowel movement, you're still probably getting 22-23% of that 2000. And we're not having people rush to the hospitals with hypermagnesia. So I don't think it's a big deal if you're above that RDA, and you'll want to keep an eye on your calcium levels, your other mineral levels. And if you exhibit any of the symptoms of that, then you should get it checked out and you should work with somebody who can help you through that.
Excellent. I have orthostatic intolerance and higher mag seems to knock potassium levels off. My provider, neurologist, does support me taking it, but finding one that works more easily. Also, have you heard of someone getting fatigue from taking magnesium? I take citrate, malate capsules in the morning and glycinate in the evening, 120 milligrams each. I have very low levels despite supplementation. Gut issues, exclamation point. I find that magnesium causes me to totally relax and I fall asleep. Like, so I would not take magnesium in the morning. That's me personally. Thoughts?
Yeah. I wouldn't take it in the morning either. It is a relaxing thing. Glycine has been shown to help reduce or improve sleep over time. And so, for instance, if you took, you know, 2 to 3 capsules of our product, which would be 360 to 440 or no, 540 milligrams, like that's a pretty heavy dose of glycinate as well as magnesium. I would expect you to like want to go take a nap.
It's a beautiful thing, but you need to take it at the right time of day. So if it's causing you fatigue, I'm surprised it's not causing you fatigue, frankly, if you're taking it in the morning.
Yeah, I know for some folks, malate can be a little upregulating. And I think that that might be just the malic acid. So you can actually get 50 milligram capsules of malic acid and try that on its own and see if that's what helps you feel more energy. Some people are deficient in some of these small acids like citric acid, malic acid, orotate, so you can get those from certain companies and just try them without the magnesium and see if that helps you with whatever you're searching to.
Carol says, aren't there 7 forms of magnesium that are important to take? I've heard supplements that include all 7, but so far I just take a chelated form of magnesium. What's the difference?
So all the 7 thing is a marketing technique used by some companies. There's more forms than 7. There's quite a few. There's organic and inorganic forms. There's all kinds of forms. There's no research that suggests taking all 7 is better than not taking all 7. There's no research that suggests that. I don't know of any research that backs that up. What I am willing to say, what I have seen over and over again, is that each type of magnesium appears to affect certain people differently. So like I said, magnesium oxide can cause diarrhea, even in the smallest amounts for some folks. Same thing with citrate. Some people find relief with those. It's not a bad thing, right? It's a good thing for some. It's a bad thing for others. Malate can be high energy for some people, and they don't like that. Other people who are low fatigue or low energy, they might feel something. Glycinate tends to be the most calming, the most relaxing. So people who have anxiety, have, you know, restless minds, thoughts, who have a hard time sleeping, probably want to use that form. People who have sensitive guts, again, magnesium glycinate appears to have the least amount of side effects regarding loose stools. So that could be a better choice. So it's not that you need all 7. It's just that they provide different pros and cons and finding the one that works for you. So if you have a product that you find fine, that's a chelated version, there's no reason for you to switch, in my opinion.
Okay. Glycinate can, wait, Laura, Lizanne, I should say, I know you were saying something else. I see your comment. I see it in the chat, but I'm going to keep going. Oxalates are a problem. I'll just address that because somebody else said, why are you suggesting spinach? You know, some people are not impacted by oxalates and salicylates. Some people are. So it's, I think it's kind of like what you just said, Steve, about pros and cons. Like, it's a great source of iron, but you have to be careful of the oxalates and salicylates if that's an issue for you. And yes, I think a lot of people are impacted by it, but if you can, you know, have a charred salad, that's great. I just don't know how many people are doing that. So it's a hard balance to strike.
Yeah, look, I mean, I don't know when anybody else got in the natural health world. I've been here since 09. I was very zealot this, zealot that. I was high, or I was anti-salicylates back in 2010. And then I realized that it's a very small minority of people that have that issue. And it kept happening. I kept being like, oh, it's all this. And then I realized it was kind of a small minority. And so I've been through a lot of trends. And so now I try not to demonize things, because on this call, there's several hundred people. Some people that will be an issue. A lot of people, it won't be their issue, even if it is your issue. And so tolerance and experimenting on yourself is the best way to find your way through these things.
It's the same thing with the low FODMAP diet. It's the same thing with the SCD diet and GAPS. You have to experiment. And anybody who says, here's the handout, just do exactly what it says, has not done it for themselves, honestly. So I just don't, we're trying to find balance, because Steve and I have both been on both ends of the spectrum of where it is like all or none. And then the pendulum swings where it's very clear that everyone is so different and no one wants to hear that. So bear with yourself and bear with us as well. Right. So is this, what about magnesium for leg and foot cramps?
It definitely doesn't seem to heal everybody's leg and foot cramps, and it seems to help a lot of people. So you can actually look at our reviews on our website at the Healthy Gut website, and you can see there's a number of leg cramp reviews already coming in for our product where other magnesiums didn't help them. But it's also very clear that restless leg and leg cramps are not like treated by magnesium. It's just part of whatever's happening there, physiologically speaking.
Yep. Yeah, Lizanne, I'm not going to address it. You're right. Getting an oats test would be great. Yep. Nothing that you're saying is wrong. So well, let's keep going here. Let's see. I don't even want to get into the whole RDA thing either. This is like, you know, do you need to eat 4 to 5 times the amount of food as the RDA for our gender to meet that with magnesium containing foods? I don't even want to get you into that, because then it's numbers and all that. And I think it's just about, like, I like the idea of you getting tested. And if it's low, you're definitely low. I like that. That's like, I think, a really good indicator.
Yeah. It should be, you should, if you're going to use, get magnesium serum and get a magnesium RBC, which are the easiest to get. You want to be in the upper 2/3 of the reference range. I don't care the company. You want them both to be there. If they're both not there, then, you know, something's probably going sideways. In the future, there might be more tests for, you know, muscle, things like that. But typically that's going to require like a biopsy. And most of us don't want needles stuck into our bones or our muscles. That's pretty intense.
What about the blood-brain barrier? Hey, Michael, and magnesium. Is that why it makes us, some people, tired?
So there is a compound called magnesium L-threonate, and L-threonate has a ton of data in rats. The data in humans is like totally missing, and I don't know why. But the rat data is out of this world. Like, we're talking all kinds of cool studies on Alzheimer's and all kinds of dementia, sleep, things like this for L-threonate and mice. It crosses their blood-brain barrier. But again, how do we figure that out in humans without sticking needles in people's brains? It's hard to quantify that. Not everything that works in rats works in humans, but a lot of things do. And so what I would say on magnesium L-threonate is get some and try it out. It's the most expensive form out there. It's going to cost you, you know, $50 or so for a bottle-ish for the sort of concentrated ones. The dosage has to be decently high, like 2,000 or so milligrams for humans, and see if it helps you. I got so excited by the research and I was all about magnesium L-threonate. And I thought it was going to help for my anxiety. I thought it was going to help my sleep. I thought, yeah, I love anything for my brain because I've done a lot of bad things to it. And I just never really got any boops. I didn't see any observable help. And yet when I take magnesium glycinate before bed, I definitely notice like reduction in sort of my racing thoughts, my crazy brain, my sleep quality is better. And overall, my gut's a little better. And so I can't prove anything about magnesium glycinate in the brain. Nobody can. And I question the data on magnesium L-threonate in the brain. And that being said, if you take it and it helps you, stay there.
Yeah. This is really the thing, guys. This is really the thing. If you take it and it helps you, excellent. We're talking about, you know, not medical advice. We're just talking about, you know, Steve and I have done a lot of research, him more than me. I've done a lot of working on myself, a lot of supplements. I have found this particular magnesium to be delightful. And I've had the same experience with the oxys in the past, where I was like not wanting to take it because it was almost too strong, if you want to say it like that. So this is very gentle. I think that if you haven't gotten into magnesium yet, you will be delighted with this particular form of it. I think if you're already like a magnesium expert yourself and you've tried it all and been there and done that and you haven't tried this, it's worth a try. And that being said, if you already use one and you like, that's great. We're glad you're here. So that's really where we're coming from. One thing I did want to mention is about Steve's Holozyme. We've done many webinars together about Holozymes and about digestive enzymes. And if you're here right now listening and, you know, wanting your seeker, you're trying to figure out something to help you with your gut and you are not doing Holozymes or a digestive enzyme that works for you, then I definitely would suggest that you investigate it. By the way, when Steve has a really cool Facebook group, when you go, you know, make a purchase with him, and he has a health coach there that can help you. I've had other people like come into our Facebook group and ask a question, and someone else, not me, chimed in like, hey, you need to go to Steve's Facebook group because they just helped me with this and this, and they really care. And that is so true. So I love that about you, Steve. I wouldn't have you here if I didn't think that and already know that's the way you roll. But can we talk a little bit about digestive enzymes just for a few minutes? Because I think it's an opportunity to educate and fill in the gap. And if anybody's tried a digestive enzyme and you've been like, kind of like with magnesium, why are yours different? Where do I begin?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to like get across everything that I've been up to for the last couple of years, but ours are different. Number one, because we have a patent that activates each type of enzyme in there. We have like, I think 280 milligrams of minerals per two capsules. So the minerals need to donate their electrons to the enzymes to make them most active. A lot of companies are unwilling to invest in that part of the process of creating it. And so at the end of the day, like, why do our enzymes work better than other people's? Because I sweat every detail. Every detail matters to me. You know, I really do understand that I do not believe there's anything different about citrate coming from a fungal source or citrate coming from a vitamin C or a non-GMO or GMOs. I don't know that that actually matters, but I will sweat it when it comes to creation of our products so that other people out there don't. And so when it comes to Holozymes, I try to sweat all those details. I try to make sure that every single portion of the product is built to the highest standards so it works, because I know that a recommendation is sacred. And sometimes not everybody has the same value on health that I do. And I might get a 10-minute window in order to change someone's life. And in that 10 minutes, if I recommend a magnesium product that is not the cleanest and the most potent and the best alignment, and you try something else and you're like, there it goes, magnesium doesn't work. Or I really need an enzyme. I'm having this bloating issues, or I'm having these food digestion, food sensitivity issues, whatever it is. And I get that moment where someone's really on the verge of tears, or they just got done crying and they want to change in their life, and you give them a product that's substandard and it doesn't work, you missed your window for them potentially for years, who knows. But if you give them a product that works, then they might try another product. Then they might go invest in some testing. Then they might go seek a functional medicine doctor, integrative medicine doctor. Then they might go to therapy. And in the end, hopefully they're a better human. And so that's where Holozymes come from. I've sweat every detail as far as trying to create a product for people with food sensitivities, people with sensitive guts, and it contains different exotic enzymes that other practitioner brands don't have, as well as the mineral cofactors in there. And that's, I guess, what makes it different.
And if you, if you've never tried it, or you've tried some others, and you were like, it really, I didn't really notice the difference. I do think that it's worth trying. And also I take some in between my meals too, and have noticed a really good change. Can't really describe it, just like a cleaner feeling. So I really like that. And so what Steve just said, I think is really important, because that's the way I feel too. Like, I only have so much exposure and so much time, and I don't want to blow the opportunity. I don't want to like have you come to a masterclass and you're like, I don't really know what they're talking about, or get confused or get discouraged. I'm all about hope and all about getting you the right information. So we both take these missions really, really seriously. And so everyone who's here, thank you for being here. You are also on your own mission, obviously. So I really want you to start thinking about it that way, that you have stuff you need to get done in this lifetime. And if you are not feeling well, it drains your ability to really maximize those moments. So I applaud you for being here, and then teach what you learn, because that's how we're going to heal the planet. So how soon before bed would be the ideal time taking magnesium for calming down? Which one calms again besides glycinate? I find I'm about 20 minutes beforehand, and then I am like, night, night, bye.
Yeah. I would say 30. Yeah. I would have said 30 minutes. So 20 to 30. Yeah, 20 to 30 minutes before bed. This seems to be the ideal timing for a lot of people. The glycine also has a very calming effect. Again, there's been studies on glycine and sleep. Glycine is typically like low in a lot of folks with GI upset or toxicity issues, especially the glycophosphate chemical, I think, tends to inhibit glycine and sort of take over the receptors. So glycine is a powerful, like if you're out there with sleep issues, go buy bulk glycine from Amazon or somewhere else and just try a scoop, like 3 to 5 grams. Your mind might be blown with your improvement in your sleep and your gut. It's an amino acid, I think, that a lot of people could use more of.
Okay, cool. So great. Vic is asking a great question. How do digestive enzymes differ than pre and probiotics? I'm just going to say they're enzymes. They're not bacteria.
Yeah. They're not even in the same.
They're just like, it's a cat and it's a horse.
Right.
So they're totally different. But I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of people have that question and don't realize it.
Yeah. So enzymes break down everything in the world. Prebiotics are the food for bugs inside of your body. Probiotics are beneficial bugs that have been tested to help us. And so prebiotics is food, probiotics are helpful bugs, enzymes are munchers that keep your life going round and round. Think of them like little Pac-Man.
Yeah. So for example, compost, you add enzymes to the compost to continue it to disintegrate so it can be used in a form to feed back the earth. I hope that helps. Yep. You're the literally the second person that has asked that question in one way or another of me in the past 2 weeks. So I'm really glad you asked that. What if we take a pro-Connecticut bed? Hey, Patty, shall we take magnesium earlier? I'll just tell you, I take it at the same time.
Yeah, it shouldn't inhibit anything there, whether it's magnesium citrate, magnesium glycinate, whatever magnesium it is, it shouldn't be a big deal.
What would be your input if glycinate doesn't have a calming effect? Use organic pure powder?
Magnesium always needs to be bound to something. If you're not doing well with magnesium glycinate, I would return back to what we talked about a little earlier and try the topical magnesium forms. See if those will help out. I would go topical if glycinate is not working for you.
Because it's usually so easily handled and so easily absorbed. Okay.
Correct.
All right. So here's the thing. We are going to continue with this series with Steve, but one thing I want to say is that when you get the replay, you're going to be able to go and see every single webinar I've done with Steve. So you're going to see more information about holozymes. You're going to see more information about magnesium, more about prebiotics, and a couple of other products that Steve has created. If you are interested in doing this, that coupon is only available for a little bit. And so I want to make sure you take advantage of that. Steve does have a good return policy as well. So if you're like, it doesn't work, you can get your money back.
But that's great.
It's great.
We just hired more health coaches to jump on the team. So
good.
Our team's expanding so that you'll be able to hopefully have the chance to, you know, ask them questions about your experience if it's not working for you. And at the end of the day, if it's not working, we just give you your money back.
Yeah. So I'm going to put the links in. We're going to wrap it up. This one was short and sweet, but I think we got the job done. Thank you all so much for being here. Pardon me. And be sure to check out the recording area, because there's Steve and I have been talking about a lot of topics. And that being said, I don't want you to feel like, oh, I have to go watch all of this before I make the decision. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You and your own body are the best testimonial for this. You and your own body are the living experiment. You are the one who needs to make your own decision. And happy October, everybody. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah.
And
yeah, Pat, I mean,
thank you so much.
I just want to double click on what you're saying there, Siobhan. Like, look, if what you're doing is working, stay with that. If the nutritionist or the doctor or the functional medicine provider you're following is working, keep doing that. If it's not, though, if you've been doing it for a month or 2 months, you see no benefit or no change, go in a different direction. You know, try our magnesium, try someone else's magnesium, try a different digestive enzyme, try ours, you know, like do something different. I think the one mistake I made and the one mistake I think a lot of people make in this world is they get bought into some expert or some theory or some research when it's clearly not working for them and they need to switch it up.
It causes a lot of anxiety, that whole like, hey, what's wrong with me? Laura, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Sometimes topical magnesium can itch. I've never heard it called burn, but I can see why it could be interpreted that way. What I do is I put it on the soles of my feet when I do decide to do it. And I got these little plastic booties on Amazon that you would normally do like paraffin wax dips on. And then I put my socks on because I'm a total nerd. So I don't put it on my other skin. I put it on the bottom of my feet. It's for a child. That's tricky. You might want to try putting it into like a carrier moisturizer so that, you know, it's a little bit buffered. You know, that's actually a really good question for those groups like Wellness Mama and stuff. I'm sure they have some hacks for that. And yes, your enzyme production does decline as you age. Last but not least, you know, people always talk about like, and someone's just asked here, if I supplement, will it reduce my body's ability to, like, let's say I take enzymes, is my body going to produce less enzymes? There, I get that, right? If I supplement with testosterone or whatever, does it mean my body's going to do less testosterone? If I supplement with probiotics, does it mean blah, blah, blah? I will just give you my probiotic example, which is our forefathers and mothers would go out into the field, pick the potato, eat the potato, assuming they dusted it off, but they were getting inoculated every single day with their garden and their earthly probiotics. And that's not our society today. And so it's something to think about. And so I have no problem doing a probiotic for the rest of my life. I got that explanation. It worked for me. Not to mention that some are gatekeepers like Megaspore and all that. It's a whole nother conversation, but I kind of like, I'm so grateful for supplements because they're not going to fix everything, but I've personally definitely improved my health from them. And I'm not eating chard every day. I'm not eating all of this bushel of beautiful, amazing veggies that we're so blessed to have. I'm just not. So I rely on this to literally do what they're called, which is supplement my food. And everyone's got their own opinion and their own experience, but that's the whole point. We are encouraging you to have all that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just if you think, I don't know. I think people have a fantasy and they don't want to become dependent on things, but you're already dependent on things because we don't live the other way. The other way is you had a farm, you touched the intestines of dead animals, you butchered your own chicken, you gutted your own goat, you whatever. You were
played in the dirt a lot.
Yeah. You're supposed to dirt and like, poop, animal poop all day long, their infections, we get like almost zero of that these days. And so we have to replace that with something if we're going to have a great life. And a lot of times that's going to be some type of supplement in some cases. And for you, it might be probiotics. For other people, it might be enzymes. It just totally depends on your, where you live, your epigenetics, your diet, your genetics, your previous damage, all those things.
Your stress. Beth is saying, these products changed my life so much that I quit my 10-year career to come work for Healthy Gut. A few months ago, I was very sick and very malnourished and the healthiest I have been in years. Shout out to you, Beth. Thank you. I love people who pay it forward in that way. That's a huge, huge testimonial. Laura, same. Yeah, thanks, I can't Beth. Live without, and we do eat organic, awesome food daily, but still need and helps. Excited. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you, Steve. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Siobhan. Thanks, everyone. I hope I helped.
It did. A little shot of hope and a nice discount. So we appreciate that. All right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, everyone. Be sure to grab that link. We'll send out the replay. The links will also be in the replay, but the coupon's only good for a couple of days. So I want to make sure you're taking advantage of it while you can. Okay. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Bye.